And that guy is going to come and read our reading for us. It's from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16, on page 578 in the small church Bibles.
How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalms 9 to 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Malachi.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name's Claire, and my job title at Spinnaker is actually Team Operations Manager, which sounds really important, but it's not really. I look after all the team, and I look after all our hubs as well. So I have the great benefit of seeing all our work happening right across the southeast. And Bill asked me if I'd wander around today, and I said, no, definitely not. I will stay in one place, but I'm not sure actually now. It's lovely to be here and to meet all of you. I have been here once or twice before to speak, actually. And you're obviously a lovely family church, and I feel like I want to be out there and talking to you, not stuck behind here. So I might have a bit of a wander, but I'll take your phone with me if I do. As Caroline said earlier, Martin started Spinnaker over 30 years ago. And his heart was to introduce primary school children to Jesus and to bring the Bible to life for them. And that's still at the heart of what we do today. And now when we go into churches, we always share an assembly like we did today, because we want you to see what we do. We also want to speak to the children. But we just want you to see what happens and to share our heart. So that's why we chose to do that this morning. But also, when we're at schools, we speak to the children, but also we know that there's teachers and support staff there as well. And they hear what we're saying. And so often they come up to us afterwards and just say, that was really helpful to hear that today. So I think you're probably all aware, when we speak to the children, it's not really just for the children, it's for the adults as well, and it can speak to all of us, actually. This year, usually our assemblies are... we have an assembly pack each term, but this year we decided to do a journey through the Bible across the whole year. And I love this one because I love the Bible. So that's what I wanted to encourage you all this morning, is to treasure the Bible. And that's why I just chose that reading that we had just now. And just to encourage you how important it is for each of us in our daily lives. It's not just for the children, it's for all of us. And I'm going to start with a story from my past, actually. Some years ago, more years than I care to remember, when I was a teenager, I went on a weekend away to Lee Abbey. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard of Lee Abbey, actually. It's a Christian retreat centre based in Cornwall, I think, or Devon. And it's an amazing place, actually. It's like a country estate, almost, actually, and it's set in rolling hills, and it's gorgeous. But I had no idea at all what I was going to. Okay, there was about four or five of us going, and really it was just an excuse for a weekend away. And when I got there, I knew I was going to sing, and I was going to sing in a choir there. And when I got there, I found out it was a musical called Greater Than Gold. Has anyone heard of Greater Than Gold? No, it's that old. But it is an amazing story about a girl called Mary Jones, who at the age of 8 became a Christian, and she loved the Word of God, and she loved to hear a minister preaching from the Word of God, even at 8. And she decided that she wanted a copy of the Bible for herself in her own language. But she came from a very poor family. So this was in the last century. And she saved up her money for 6 years to buy a Bible. And then she walked to the nearest place that she knew where she could get a Welsh Bible, which was 26 miles away. And she walked that in bare feet across a mountainous terrain to get to this village where she could buy a Bible. And that's what we sang about that weekend. And that has stayed with me for the rest of my life, actually. It meant that much to me. And of course, we practiced these songs and we sang them over and over again. So it really hit home to me. And it was just an amazing story. And the main song was based on Psalm 119. It's actually verse 105, for any of you who like to know the details, where it says, and probably a lot of you know this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And that has stayed with me forever. And when we talk about the Bible, I'm singing that song over and over in my head. And if you get a chance to look on YouTube or something, then look up Greater Than Gold. That's the main song, and it is really, really good. The music is absolutely amazing. I wish I could sing it to you now, because it would probably mean more, but unfortunately I'm not brave enough to just stand here and sing. But I'm going to read the words of the chorus to you. "Your word is like a lamp to my feet. It guides me through the problems that I meet. It teaches me to pray. It tells me what to say. Your word is like a lamp to my feet. Your word, much greater than gold, Lord, never grows old, Lord, to me. Your word, far sweeter than honey, more precious than money to me." And it's probably not quite as meaningful saying it as singing it, but as I've grown older in particular, I've just realised how much the words in the Bible mean to me. And I'm known in my church, actually, anything I go to, lots of people have visions and words of knowledge, but I'm always reading out passages from the Bible. And whenever I lead a church service, I start off with a Bible verse and something that means something to me. And I do have a kind of verse each term, something that spoke to me. Perhaps I've even been preparing to come and speak somewhere and I found an appropriate verse and it's really spoken to me, and that's my verse for the term. And then I go and read it in church, and I try and read it as passionately as possible. And we're actually taught in Spinnaker, as people who take assemblies, how to read stories with emphasis and to make it a bit more interesting. And when I read out my favourite verses in church, I feel like shaking people sometimes and just saying to them, you take it for granted, don't you, when you hear Bible passages over and over again. But I just feel like saying to them, stop, you know, just think about what this actually means. If you actually stop and think about this, it would help you so much with what you're going through in your daily lives. It would bring you so much encouragement. So I really try and read it with passion. My children, when they were about 15 or 16, about the age that Mary Jones was, I'm afraid they weren't quite in the same place as Mary Jones. They would say to me that the Bible isn't relevant now, that we're living in different times. And there's nothing wrong with questioning the Bible, actually. I think that's what brings them through, actually. But I would passionately try and explain that it is relevant to them now. And that's what we're doing in schools, actually. We're trying to teach them the relevance. We take the stories of the Bible, like Caroline said, and we try and relate it to them so that they can understand that it is relevant for them today. And my girls would say to me, oh, it's just all rules, it's all about rules. And I'd get so frustrated with them because that's not what it's about. I think all of you probably know that. I can see the faith that you have, and you know that it's more than just about you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And I ended up saying to them, it's like when you get a new game or a piece of equipment that has instructions. You can do your best to try and work it out for yourself rather than reading the instructions, which is probably what they would do. But to find out how to fully use it and how to get the best out of it, then it's best to read the instructions. And most people, let's face it, they don't want to read the instructions. I know that, it's a bit boring, you just want to get on and use it. But you get the most out of it by reading the instructions. And it's the same with the Bible. You get the most out of it by actually reading the maker's instructions. And my girls, they've grown up a bit now, and I'm pleased to say that they've found faith. And particularly my older daughter now, it's lovely seeing her, because she goes along to house group or whatever, and she comes back all excited. Although she's been at church her whole life, she comes back and says, I didn't realise that before, talking about that. I learned something new today. It was absolutely great. Because that's what happens when you really take notice of the Bible, read the things it says, and apply it to your lives. And I just wanted to give another example of that, actually. We have a new oven at home. And my family have just about worked out how to switch it on and to cook pizza and chicken nuggets, basically. My husband is exactly the same. He won't use the timer on it or anything because he won't take the time to actually learn what to do. And I'm that boring person who reads the instructions. I don't particularly want to, actually, to be honest with you. But I want to get the best out of my oven. I want to use all the functions. So I happen to know, which my daughter, all she seems to eat is pizza, even though she's 18, and I'm sure she should have grown up a bit by now, but I'm still waiting for that. There's actually a pizza function on my oven, so you can get nice crispy whatever, I don't know what it does, but she doesn't know that because she hasn't read the instructions. She hasn't taken the time to do it. I can set the timer, which my husband can't do, and I know that there's a setting on the oven that it will clean itself. So in actual fact, it's really beneficial to read the instructions, actually. Otherwise, I'd be cleaning it, not knowing there's a function that it does it itself. So it's all useful things to know that can make my life better and easier, and I get the most out of my oven. And I hope you know where I'm going with this analogy, in that I believe that reading the Bible's like that. You can get through life without reading the Bible. You don't have to follow the values and the teachings of Jesus. But if you read it and you live how Jesus challenged people to live, then you'll get so much more out of life because you're following the Maker's instructions and how God intended us to live. And the words in the Bible can give us so much. We can feel encouraged, refreshed, find wisdom, find guidance. And by looking back at what God's done, we can know what he's like, actually. And therefore, it can bring us confidence in the future. And the one thing I like about... there's lots of things I like about being here, actually, and being with you all. But one thing I really like that you do is a testimony time, actually, that we just had, where you bring encouragement to one another. And I said to Caroline that you did that before we came, because I think it's a fantastic idea. And I absolutely love it. And looking back over the Bible, we can see what God has done. And so we can see that we may be going through difficult times now. Unfortunately, those don't go away. But we also know that God brings us through those difficult times. And that he's with us in those difficult times. And he never leaves us. And he never forsakes us. So I hope that that would give you all confidence as you read the Bible. My next point is that because of the Bible, I know what path I'm following. I know how Jesus wants me to live, and I know what I need to do. And many, many children are missing that in their lives now, actually. It sometimes feels like just anything goes. Anything's acceptable. You shouldn't criticise anything. You shouldn't judge. That's right, you shouldn't judge. But so many children, they just don't know the direction in which they should be going. But I have that because I have Jesus and because I have the Bible. I do know where I'm going and what I'm doing. And that gives me a confidence in my life, actually. And we have, as Caroline said, 55 amazing people on our team, many of them volunteers, all going into schools to inspire the next generation to want to know more about the Christian faith. And we do our best to help children understand the Bible and see that it's relevant for them and to know God for themselves. And we really hope that they'll choose to explore and to find out more, and that they will know that lamp that I talked about earlier guiding their feet. So I want to encourage you today to treasure the Bible, to keep reading it, and to understand more about God, and to understand more about how to develop your life and how to get the best out of it. And I just want to finish with a suggestion, actually, to take away. As I said, I've always got different Bible verses. You have a verse for the year, obviously. And I would encourage you all, as you were saying this morning, Bill, to look at that and to really think about what it means, for you as a church and what it means for you as individuals. My verse this term is Psalm 23, and it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And do you know what? I could do a whole sermon just on that one line, let alone the rest of the verses, actually. Because when you actually reflect on that, "The Lord is my shepherd," well, the shepherd looks after his sheep. He's with his sheep the whole time, morning, afternoon, evening. He cares for his sheep. He looks after his sheep. He knows if one of his sheep is missing. That's so comforting, isn't it? That brings me such comfort. And I'm not going to read the whole verses, but it goes on to say, "He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths." I love that. I could just sit there and feel so much more refreshed and peaceful just from reading that. And that's when I want to shake everyone and say, do you realise you have that too? Just stop for a minute. We have such busy lives, don't we? Just stop for a minute and think and read those verses and think what it means for you. And my recommendation is that I keep a journal now, because I have all these fantastic verses, and then I go back and I think, what was that verse again? What was that one last year? And I can't remember. So I make a little note about the verses and a little note about what it meant to me. And then when I have times when I'm feeling not quite so encouraged, I can look back over these verses and remember that God is there with me. He loves me. He's with me. He's walking with me. One of our team wrote a poem some time ago called Navigation, and I just wanted to finish by reading that to you now, because it kind of encapsulates everything I've been trying to say today. When we have decisions to make and don't know what we should do, let's align our way with the compass of Christ, accurate, unbreakable, and true. When we feel lost and uncertain, nothing familiar, no landmarks we know, we can certainly trust in the map Christ unfolds. His route is the best way to go. When we lose our direction and stray from the visible track, we can find our way by the signpost of Christ to our Father who welcomes us back. Thank you, Father, that walking with you, you keep us from feeling alone. And at just the right time, when we're still far off, you'll meet us and bring us back home. Thank you.